2 Kings chapter 13, we have this lesson and one more. God willing, Brother Colton will be bringing the Bible message next Wednesday night, so be praying for him. I'm looking forward to that. And then, again, the one more Wednesday night after that, we'll finish up this series. And tonight, the lesson theme is the word finishing, the word finishing. Someone once said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I think that's good, but I think it's also true, it is good how you start. I think it'd be good to start well and end well. And so either way, we're on this journey of life. If you're saved, then you're on the journey of the Christian life. And I really have a desire, and I know you do too, that we finish faithful. And we'll talk about that as we go through this. We're in verse 14 of 2 Kings 13, and we're coming right down to the end of Elisha's life. Verse 14, God's word reads, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died." In other words, he was going to die from this sickness. He's not dead yet, because you'll see that. "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand." Interesting. "And he said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. It was bow and arrow time. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground." I've always thought that was just an interesting set of directions, okay? But it's not always what the directions are, as we'll see here. "And he smote thrice and stayed," which means he stopped. "And the man of God was wroth," he was not happy, "with him," the king, "and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." So finishing. And we're going to come back to all of that here in just a little bit. But as we think about the word finishing, and we think about Jesus being the ultimate finisher, right? God sent him to do something, and he finished the task that God gave him to do, and he even said it from the cross, that it is finished. We also remember that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. So if we're going to finish, then inevitably we're going to be faithful, and so that we can finish faithful. And by the way, as we think about faithful finishing, we also want to be reminded that as Christians, we are going to be at a judgment. We are going to be at a judgment. Would you take the Bible that you have there and go with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians? There's a reason why we want to finish faithful. Now, we will not be at the great white throne judgment, because we know that is for unbelievers. But it is clearly laid out in Scripture that there is a judgment for the saved. Chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians and verse number 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation," so if you're saved tonight, Jesus Christ is your foundation. If you're not saved, then you don't have a foundation. You need Christ. This is the only foundation. The church is not the foundation. The pastor's not. Christ is the foundation. But now that we have that settled, I think most of us in here are saved tonight. Now that we have that settled, what are we going to do? And he says here, we want to build on the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or are we going to build with wood, hay, or stubble? That's the choice that you make and I make. Because then he says, verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned," obviously we know which ones of those will be burned, the second group of three, right? Those aren't going to stand the test of a fire. Wood, hay, stubble, the other ones will. He shall suffer loss. Now, he's not unsaved, but he has little to no reward. Why? Because he built on the foundation with the wrong materials. And so this is where faithfulness and finishing right, we're building with the first set, gold, silver, and precious stones, okay? But he himself shall be saved, he even says it right here at the end of the verse, yet so as by fire. So knowing that someday you and I are going to stand before God, not for our sin, because again, that was covered on the cross. Praise the Lord. We don't have to pay for our sin. It's already covered with the Lord Jesus' blood. But we are going to receive a reward for our works. And so we want to stay faithful. We want to build with the right materials. We want to use gold, silver, and precious stone because that day is coming. We want to finish our race faithfully. Another verse is 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So again, this is not something that you can opt out of and I can opt out of. This is something that you are going to be a part of. So as we consider this, we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I doing my best for Jesus? Think about this. Am I doing my best for Jesus? In my Christian life, Christ has done everything for me. Christ has done everything for you. He's our foundation. Am I doing my best for Jesus? Here's another thought to think about when you're wanting to finish right, is the direction in which you are walking and the direction in which I am walking, we're not speaking about physically here, we're speaking about spiritually, is the direction in which that we are walking one that will enable us to finish well? Okay, if you're not reading the Bible regularly, that's not a good direction. And it might help, it might contribute to you not finishing well or me finishing well. If we're not faithfully attending a Bible-preaching church, that could contribute to us not finishing well. If we're not taking our, humbly going before the Lord in prayer and asking and seeking and knocking and things of this nature, it might contribute to us not finishing well. So it's our responsibility to put to practice what God has given us. Are we pointing the right way? In other words, is my way tonight, is it, well, here's the good news. There are always times in our life where we kind of get a little bit off course, okay? We don't want to get a lot of bit off course. I don't think that's even good English, but we don't want to get way off course. But and that can happen too, but we have a merciful God, praise the Lord, and we can even get back into the right course. But what we need to do is on November 5th, 2025, that's tonight, which way are we going? And are we going the way that if Jesus were to return tonight, would we be found faithful? Just because we are in church doesn't mean that. Now, that's a good place to be tonight. But God knows your heart and God knows my heart. It's a sobering question, really, that question of, am I doing my best for Jesus? Am I living my life to please me or am I living my life to please him? Direction determines destination. Which direction are we heading? So in this deathbed story tonight, we're going to see three characteristics of God's people who finish well. I want to finish well. Number one, shepherding until the end. We even sensed that in the reading tonight, that Elisha was shepherding the king. Even though he was on his deathbed, he wasn't going to live much longer, and yet he was still concerned about helping the king. And we reread that just a moment ago. In verses 14 to 16, he was guiding the king in what to do. He was leading others. We have a responsibility tonight. We have a responsibility to show others the way. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and these are verses that we hear often at this church. Praise the Lord for the Bible. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, not something new. That's a key statement right there in that verse, by the way. The same. So I remember as a boy growing up, my dad would open the Bible most weekdays for sure. We would have devotions Monday through Friday. We would have devotions in our living room before going to school. Not everybody had that in their home. I'm not saying I had a better home. I'm just saying this is something that was given to me. So what did we do in our home? We didn't have a perfect home, but we want to take the same thing. We want to take the same thing that was given to us. I had pastors that would preach the word of God to me faithfully, and youth pastors, and people in Bible college. And these are laymen, though, in the church. You know, these are people that weren't pastors in full time. They were preachers on Sunday, and they were workers during the week. I'm just saying, Timothy, or Paul told Timothy, the things that I gave you, give to the next person. And that's the responsibility we have. The same, what we have heard of those that have taught us the truths of the word of God, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, firstly, shepherding begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. Letter A, it begins in the heart. Actions toward others always begin with attitudes. Now, that can be good or bad, right? But that's where it starts. It starts with the attitude. And Paul gives us some 9 attitudes that we should have. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. You should be striving for these. They're in us, but are we letting the Holy Spirit of God bring them out on a regular basis? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the passage. And they're listed there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are all qualities, attitudes. If we have those attitudes in our life, it's going to help with our shepherding. Turn over to that Sermon on the Mount, please. Matthew chapter 5. And here we find what many have called the Beatitudes. And maybe we'll focus on that word be. Not B-E-E, but B-E. Just the B-E. Beatitudes. And the point of this is these are things that we need to be in our life. And it begins in the heart. Notice these qualities. Matthew chapter 5 starts in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the qualities and not read that just to keep moving here. The poor in spirit, verse 3. Verse 4, they that mourn. These are qualities. 5, the meek. 6, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Boy, there's something that should just really grab a hold of us. Do we hunger and thirst after it? And you know, there's a big difference between not having that and having it. Because if you've ever been really hungry, you know what that means. If you've ever been really thirsty, you know what that means. That's the kind of spirit we want to have about doing right. 7, merciful. 8, pure in heart. 9, peacemakers. 10, persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then 11, men shall revile you. Persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So these are the beatitudes. These are circumstances, and whether we have good health, bad health, everything and everything in between, these attitudes are things that you need to have and I need to have in my life so that we can shepherd people the right way. So that we can finish well. We can finish well. And again, we're not finishing well so that people say, wow, that Ben, he really finished well. No, so that they will look at you and look at me and say, I saw Christ in them. And that's the only way they finished well, right? Because we're humans. We're humans. See, I'm human. I can't even speak straight. And when people look at us, we don't want them to see us. We want them to see Christ in us. And let God's glory be seen in us. Hallelujah for that. It begins in the heart, but shepherding doesn't just stay on the inside. Shepherding then goes to the hands. Letter B. You can't just say, well, I feel it. I feel it. Whatever that means, I don't know what that means. Because if your feeler doesn't lead to you doing something or me doing something, maybe my feeler's broke, okay? So it does begin in the heart, but then it transfers to the hands. In other words, actions always follow attitudes. Actions always follow attitudes. Remember, this can be good or this can be bad. But what we do comes out of who we are. What we do comes out of who we are. I remember this being said, we need to be before we do. But whatever we be, we will do. Okay? It will come out. It will show itself. If we are who we ought to be, we'll do what we ought to do. Simple, but it's life-changing. Because that's exactly how life should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Finishing well, right? Matthew 15, 18. Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. What comes out of the mouth is in the heart. That's very sobering. We all have the capacity, you know, what's that verse that says, can bitter water and can sweet water, I'm kind of messing that up, can it come from the same mouth, spout, you know? And it's very possible, right? But I'm thinking tonight as we look at this verse, what comes out of the mouth is really coming from the heart. My deeds and my words reflect my spiritual condition. Can we really just think about that for a moment? My deeds and my words reflect my spiritual condition. This is why I wondered at times, and I'm burdened at times, about so many, even from Anchor Baptist Church, whose deeds barely show salvation, if at all. You say, do we have to work to be saved? No. But if you read the book of James, there's no way you can get away from the fact that if you are saved, there will be works. I'm not the judge, but we see from the outside. So I'm just saying, what is on the inside will be revealed on the outside. For some, even that claim to be saved, their deeds show they are lost. Only they know, and Christ knows, and God knows. But I'm saying, we ought not live like we're lost. Right? If we're saved, means we have, and we say this many times, it means the Holy Spirit of God is in us. That means, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you are going to walk a certain way. If you are lost, you're going to walk a different way. It doesn't mean that somebody gets saved and immediately they're doing everything they ought to do for the Lord. No, we're all growing, okay? But we ought to be going which direction, right? Going the right direction. If we want to finish faithful, we got to go the right direction. And so, again, this is so challenging to me. It is good to be thinking about being kind, but it's even better to be kind. I was even chatting with Brother Kevin tonight, not necessarily about that, but in a way, some of these things we were chatting about. It is important to think about being merciful, but it's even more important to be merciful. So our thoughts, our hearts need to transfer into our actions. Christ is the ultimate example of a shepherd, John 10:11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus' role as a good shepherd shows somebody who is self-sacrificing. I wrote this down. When is the last time I sacrificed for God? I don't know. It's a big word. It means different for different people. But it's between us and the Lord. But the Lord sacrificed for me. Just, you can't even comprehend the sacrifice of Calvary, can we? It's difficult. But we should be willing to sacrifice. So, Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, right? And we see within that psalm that David talks to us about how God is shepherding. And in that shepherding psalm of Psalm 23, God is leading, God is restoring, God is comforting. This is an active, ongoing process, but it's something that meets our physical and spiritual needs. He's faithful to lead. He's faithful to restore. He's faithful to comfort. So shepherding until the end. Secondly, standing until the end. Shepherding, but now standing. Elisha stood for God and pointed people back to God. This was his life in a nutshell. He speaks about the arrow of whose deliverance in our text? The Lord's deliverance. Look at verse 17. We're back to 2 Kings 13. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed him. Elisha magnified the Lord. Let us exalt the Lord, magnify his name. Let us exalt the Lord. The Apostle Paul talked about dedication in Acts 20:24. He said, but none of these things move me. Then he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He valued his calling to testify of the gospel above his own life. How can we stand till the end? Well, here's the deal. Let's not focus on the end. Okay? Here it is. We stay faithful for decades by doing it one day at a time. Not 10 years at a time. We stay faithful at the end by being faithful today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. One day at a time. I get up in the morning and God gives me a new day. That is my goal for that day, to stand and be faithful. And if I get the next day, okay, then you know what? Repeat. Stand and be faithful. And you put a bunch of those together and you've got 365. Now you've got a year and we just keep on going. But I'm not concerned about being faithful for 25 years. I want to be faithful for November 5th. We've still got about 4 hours left. Let's be faithful until we pillow our head tonight. When we pillow our head, we say, thank you, God, for helping us get through another day. Wow. God, should you let me get up in the morning, help me to be faithful, November 6th. And we just do one day at a time. And give God the glory. And it happens as we stand in our daily lives. What do we stand on? Letter A, the Word of God. Remember, the same, commit thou to faithful men. I heard that, I don't know how many times, when I was a young person, a teenager. Going to youth conference, stand on the Word of God, read the Word of God, live by the Word of God, all these things. And you know what? We just keep, the message is not new. This book is eternal. It's forever. Hallelujah for the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord was said over and over again by Elijah and Elisha. Not thus saith Elijah. Not thus saith Elisha. Thus saith the Lord. And indeed, this should be our statement as well. When I stand on the Word of God, and when you stand on the Word of God, it's going to help us to have the right perspective. We said this on Sunday. I think it was on Sunday night, that we said, how do we see? And if we see properly, it's because we're seeing things in a biblical way. Not in the way of the changing of the times, not in the way of what's popular, not in the way of what supposedly works, but what is in the way of God. We see things through the Word of God. It helps us to have the right perspective. It helps me to see the world through this lens. And you know what? Maybe there's going to come a day where when we stand on the Word of God, we may face, you know, I don't want to use the word persecution because it's already happening all over the world, but we may face a level of that here in this free country that we live in. Are we going to stop standing on the Word of God when that happens? I hope and pray we don't, because we want to finish faithful. We want to finish on the winning side, which we are on the winning side, but we want to stand on the Word of God. Viewing life through God's word allows me to interpret and approach life in an accurate manner. Is this pleasing to God? If we determine from the word of God that it is not pleasing to God, then why would we do it? We need to say, you know what, that doesn't please God. I know, I can tell right here, it doesn't please God. It's not right. Or if it pleases God, why wouldn't we do it? Why would we do what doesn't please God? And why wouldn't we do what does please God? Because again, that's what we're looking through. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Praise God for something that is true. The standing is on the word of God. And again, there might be I was saying something earlier today about people in my life that were a very big influence who made very bad mistakes. Not just mistakes, sin. You've all sinned, and so have I. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying, so what am I going to do? Am I going to view life now through their failure, or am I going to view life through the Word of God? I have a decision to make. By the way, people in the work of the Lord, good, godly people, will make bad decisions. We need to be very careful that we don't allow those decisions to impact us and get us off course and get us pointed in the wrong direction because they're pointed in the wrong direction. We need to stay pointed in the right direction, standing on the Word of God. It's very important. Decide before you have to decide. Decide biblically before you have to decide. There are many things in my life that I will not do. Because why? Because I've already decided I won't do them based on the Bible. We've got to live this way. There are many things I will do. I've already decided I'm going to do them. Why? Because of the Word of God. Not because I'm a Baptist pastor, but because of the Word of God. This is way more powerful than the name Baptist, okay? Is the Word of God. Okay, so we stand on the Word of God. Then, as we do that, we stand on the will of God. Letter B. We stand on the will of God. Jesus prayed for God's will to be done in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Not my will, but thy be done. Elisha desired the will of God above all else through his life. When we stand on the will of God, we find the right path. Psalm 25. Would you turn over there quickly? Psalm 25. God wants us to know his will. This is not something in hiding. Again, that's why the Bible is so vital for your life and my life. We approach God humbly. God teaches us. But just because God teaches us, it's vital that you have and I have a receptive heart. And then that we're going to listen and obey. Just like we who have, maybe you've had worked with kids or maybe you had your own kids. You can tell them. But until they process it and say, you know what, okay, yep, I'm listening, I'm going to obey, and they put it into practice, it's just one ear and out the other sometimes. I wonder what God thinks about me, though. Then, man, one ear and out the other. Come on. You've been hearing this for a long time. It's time to put it into practice. That's when it becomes real, not just hearing it, but doing it. Whatever it may be. Look at Psalm 25:9, please. Gave you a chance to find it there. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. There's some humility there. Right? There's humility there. In other words, God, I am putting my will aside. I am humbling myself. I'm putting my will aside. I need you to take me in the right way. And believe me, God never leads us in the wrong way. And God will always lead us in the way that will bring us to the end and we can say, I finished. I'm not perfect, but I finished. I finished as best I could loving God, loving his word, loving his people, living in a way that honors God. Again, no one is perfect. We're not saying that. But we must, while God is saying, I will teach you, we must die to stubbornness. And an unwillingness to listen. In other words, we must have clay that is moldable. And he'll do a great job. He'll do the best job with my lump of clay if I just let him do it. It's not always easy. Believe me, I'd be the first one to sign up on that list. It's not always easy. Would you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, please? Here's what we need to do when not everything that God is doing in our life did we expect? Do we really just, you know, we may not even like it. But, you know, me liking everything that God does in my life is not a prerequisite for me finishing. I don't have to like it. Look what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. So, when we're unsure of what God's will is, and we're unsure, what is God doing? First thing you need to do, and I need to do, is rejoice always. Just rejoice always. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So I don't know what God's will. I can't understand God's will. I want to do God's will. I don't think, why is this part of God's will? Rejoice always. Then secondly, he says, pray continually. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop rejoicing. Don't stop praying. And then look, look at what he says. He says, in everything give thanks. I mean, will this ever test us? This will test us. Do we really want to finish continuing and finishing and doing right? Then we've got to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything. Those are very challenging at times, okay? I'm not saying this is easy peasy, all right? This is not entry level. This is graduate level. And yet, even though there's some very short verses in English, there's not a lot of words there. But if we follow those words, wow. But see, sometimes what looks so simple is very challenging. Because here's the difference. Because here's what happens. Satan doesn't want us to look at that. He wants us to look at everything that's swirling. And we're going to come to that in a minute. As you and I walk in truth that God has revealed to us, guess what happens? He continues to guide us and give us more light. 1 John 1:5-7. I won't turn there for time. We may not know the entirety of God's will for our lives, but follow the light God has given you. Tonight, from God's word, we're seeing here a formula to follow the will of God. It's been in there for all eternity. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks for everything. So we stand on the word, we stand on the will, we stand on the work, the work of God, letter C, the work of God. Elisha was dedicated to participating in God's work as long as he lived. He said, I want you to take, and we're going to shoot this arrow of the Lord's deliverance. When we stand on the work of God, we have the right pursuit. The right pursuit. Jesus said this in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said in John 17:4, the high priestly prayer, the Lord's prayer. Just read it recently. Beautiful. Should read it sometime if you haven't read it recently. Verse 4 said, I have glorified thee in earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We can say that someday too. I have glorified thee on earth. Our lives can glorify God. We can finish the work that God has given us to do. Finishing. Elisha knew that time was short. This is one of the last things he would do for the Lord. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The brevity of life encourages us to serve God with the day that we have. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. James says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? As I said, 2005, first youth conference. I can't believe it's been 20 years. 20 years, that's two decades. I feel like I did when I was 32. Not quite. But it's exciting in a way to see what God has done and is doing. But I may not have the rest of this year. I have no idea. Neither do you. It is a vapor that appears for a little while. We were looking at pictures in my office I don't have much to look at in there. There's very few things to look at. If you go in there, it's pretty boring, all right? But he's trying to help me. Brother Colton's trying to help me. He did a great job today. Got a picture hung up today. Thank you very much. I've had that picture. I'm not even going to say how long I've had it online here. But he did a great job. But I love my pictures of the seniors. Seniors coffee. He looked at that picture and I said, yeah. She's talking about Brother Gord and being a pilot and all that. And, you know, Brother Gord's been with the Lord for a few years now. But on one of those pictures, I think there's only two people that are still with us, Carmen and Victoria. All the rest of them are up in heaven at Timmy's. They're waiting up there in Timmy's in heaven for us, you know, ready to have seniors coffee. Their vapor's up. Their vapor's up. They wouldn't want to join us back here for nothing, for anything, pardon me. But someday my vapor's going to be up. So is yours. Let's finish faithful. Let's finish faithful. God is worthy of that. Lastly, striving until the end. Number three. First, shepherding. Second, standing. Third, striving. At the end of the text of our reading tonight, we witness an unusual moment there, honestly, between Elisha and the king. The king is told to take the arrows and strike the ground, symbolizing God's deliverance from the Syrian nation. He strikes but three times, and Elisha is not very happy about it, as we read earlier. He lets the king know that if he had struck more, the victory over Syria would have been complete. Perseverance is the only way that we're going to continue until the end. Letter A, we strive for the faith. We strive for the faith. From a prison in Rome, Paul encouraged the Philippian believers to continue. Philippians 1:27 is the theme verse for the Striving Together Publications ministry, which is just an amazing ministry that God has allowed to be developed over I don't know how many years now. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We see an idea here of synergy, that together they would exert effort for the furtherance of the gospel, working together. We just finished the World Series. Again, we said we weren't going to talk about that, but we won't talk about it specifically, but we think about athletes, like people that do that, or World Cup is coming to our area next year, by the way. If you're a World Cup fan, you probably already knew that. But those men and women in those sports, they endure much for a temporary crown. I mean, they endure a lot. You know that, right? They go through rigorous training, withholding from themselves different things. In other words, sacrificing for the prize. Our life should be lived in excellence for the Lord. The Christian life, we should live it in excellence, giving Him our best. Don't give God your leftovers. I mean, I love leftovers. Don't get me wrong. I'm a leftover guy. I love them. I eat them all the time. No problem. But, you know, the idea here is God deserves our best. You know, if I came over to your house, you said, Pastor, sit down. I've got some leftovers from 3 days ago. We're going to have a meal. You know what? I'd eat it. But you know what? I'd be kind of thinking, really? I'm nobody, but it's not about me. But most people don't have people over and say, I've got the best leftovers in town. Are you hungry? We just don't do that when you have a guest over. It just doesn't happen. If you do it to me, that's okay. I'm really not. I'm serious. I'll eat whatever. As long as it's dead, I'll eat it, okay? But why is it that we get our life and we say, okay, the best is for me, and then God, if I have any time left over in the week, I'll let you have some. No. God deserves my best. The best of my years, the best of my day, the best of my week, the best. Why? He gave you the best. He gave me the best. He gave us His Son. If we don't have that foundation, remember, no man lay, right? We're not going to finish because we're not even going to have a foundation. if he doesn't give us the best. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I'm glad we can win the battle. I'm glad the war has been won by the Lord Jesus. But I'm also glad that we can win the daily ones. We strive for the faith. Letter B, we strive against the foes. If you want to grow when it comes time to grow in season, okay? If you want to grow a beautiful flower garden, you're going to have some foes. You're going to have some weeds that say, wait a minute, I'm here too. You might even have some bugs that say, I love those leaves. I'm here too. Don't forget about me. Just because we say we're going to finish well doesn't mean that the enemy's going to say, oh, okay, you're going to finish well. I'll just leave you alone. No. This is a fight. This is a fight. This is a fight for our youth. This is a fight for our this church, for the Lord. It's a fight. We are striving against foes. If you want a clean home, guess what? Dust is not going to say, oh, don't go to that house, 201 Harvard Drive, basement suite. Don't go to that house because that woman over there, she doesn't like dust. So don't go there. Dust doesn't do that. You know, come on, just humor me, okay? No, you want to have a clean home, guess what? Kids are coming in with dirt. It's going to happen. So there's foes. Just using that as a comparison. It's okay if the kids get dirty. It's all right. Let them get dirty, all right? Let them get dirty. It's good for them. But there is an active opposition against you and me finishing. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may. He's not toothless. He's got a lot of teeth. They're sharp. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour a home. He wants to devour a marriage. He wants to devour a relationship. He wants to devour a friendship. He wants to devour, 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 devour. He wants to devour a witness. He is standing against us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are ignorant of his devices. Can I just say, don't stick your head in the sand, okay? Who does that, giraffes? Anyway, ostriches, okay, yeah, don't be an ostrich, all right? Thank you. Don't stick your head in the sand and think, oh, if I stick my head in the sand, everything's going to work out fine. No, it doesn't work that way. Don't be ignorant of his devices. That's what Paul said. We should not be ignorant. He said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's what we don't want to be. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. To go forward for God until the end, we must also be willing to say, you know what? The past is exactly that. It's the past. There's an illustration. Oh, I don't have time to go into it, but there's an illustration that I've seen at many, many youth conferences about somebody standing up on the platform and then bringing their luggage and handing them a luggage and getting them a backpack. And they're supposed to try to carry all this stuff. Maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you've seen it on somebody else preaching. And it's a picture of all the different things in their life that weren't good. And they're trying to carry all this and they're trying to walk across the platform. And the preacher says, look, that's impossible to do. You can't carry all these things with you. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to bring all of our past into the present and carry it with us. What's going to happen is I'm not going to finish faithful. So Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, I press toward the mark for the prize. So who is the prize? The prize, I mean, praise God for the mansion being prepared for us. But what is the prize? The prize is Christ. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, verse 2 says that, excuse me, the author and finisher of our faith. We must fix our eyes on the Lord right up until the finish line. Romans chapter 8 might be one of your favorite chapters in the Bible. It's one of mine. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Nay," in verse 37, "nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When you know this and you meditate on this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, it brings great peace. And it'll help you to be a finisher. It'll help me to be a finisher. Today, we have the same God as Elisha. We have the same God as Elijah. Where is the God of Elijah? Right? He's our God. He's our God. He's your God. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, finishing starts by one day saying, that day, okay, God, I want to finish tonight. When I go to bed, I want to finish faithful. Please, Holy Spirit of God, take control of my life today. And you know what? The next morning, do it again. The next morning, do it again. And then you stack a bunch of those up, and we get to the end, and that's it. We check out. God says, it's time. The appointed, right? It is appointed unto men once to die. When that appointment time comes, we meet that appointment time. Finishing. Yes, you know, not perfect. Probably some regrets, but let's minimize those. Forget them, right? Don't bring them up. Just keep pressing and moving, standing on the Word of God. Let's pray.